Why are we here? Why do we exist as a church? What's our purpose? These are important questions for us to think about and have an answer to. And that's why the elders have come up with a mission statement, which we shared in our session statement that was presented to the church a few weeks ago in the annual reports. A mission statement seeks to answer these why questions about meaning and purpose. It gives us clarity about why we're here, why we exist as a church, what our purpose is. It gives us direction and focus. It helps us understand what we're on about as a church. But we didn't want to come up with a mission statement that's cool or hip or based on pragmatism or worldly thinking. We wanted our church to have a mission statement that's biblical. We wanted our mission statement to be what God says our mission should be. And we believe the one we've come up with best reflects what the Bible says our purpose is as a church. Now that might change in the future. We might think of a better one. But for now, this is the best one we could come up with. So let me remind you what it is. Logan Presbyterian Church exists to exalt God, edify each other, and evangelize the lost. Now, what we're going to do this morning is consider each of the three parts of our mission statement by looking at what the Bible says about them. So let's consider the first part. Our mission is to exalt God. We exist to exalt God. Now, the word exalt simply means to lift up. We exist to lift God up, to make much of him, to make him look great, which means to make him look like what he really is, to value him above all other things, to praise him, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to worship him, to enjoy him, to glorify him. We exist to exalt God, because that's why he made us, and that's why he saved us. God made us so we could exalt him. He made us so we could know him and love him and enjoy him and glorify him. God made us for himself. Let's look at Romans 11:36. From him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. God made everything for himself, which means he made us for himself, to glorify him, to exalt him. But we rejected God and rebelled against him. We decided to turn away from God and go our own way. We decided we want to be God and rule our own lives and exalt ourselves instead of God. And as a result, we brought pain and suffering and death and destruction into the world and into our own lives. Because of our sin and rebellion against our Creator, who is perfectly holy and righteous, we're under his wrath and judgment. Let's look at Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 2:8. For those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. But in his infinite love and mercy and grace, God made a way for us to be saved from his wrath and judgment. He made a way for us to be forgiven and reconciled to him. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become a human being and live a perfect life, the sinless life God requires, the life we haven't lived. And he suffered and died on a cross to atone for our sins. He died in our place and took the punishment we deserve. And God raised him from the dead, conquering sin and death, to give us eternal life with him. Let's look at 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God saved us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saved us so we could exalt him. Let's look at Ephesians 1:5. In love, God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace. And verse 11, in Christ we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And verse 14, when you believed, you were marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. God saved us for his glory. He saved us so we could exalt him. He saved us so we could know him and love him and enjoy him and glorify him. He saved us for himself. God's glory is what it's all about. It's not about us. It's about him. God made us so we could exalt him, and he saved us so we could exalt him. So that's why this is the first part of our mission statement. We exist to exalt God. Now let's consider the second part. Our mission is to edify each other. We exist to edify each other. Now, the word edify literally means to build. So builders edify houses. But we don't really use this word in its literal sense anymore. We just say builders build houses. Now, the Bible doesn't actually use the word edify in its literal sense either. It uses it metaphorically. So when the Bible talks about Christians edifying each other, it means that we help each other grow in our faith. We exist to help each other grow spiritually, to love each other, to encourage each other, to comfort each other, to humbly correct each other when necessary, to speak the truth to each other in love, to serve each other, to pray for each other, to help each other keep following Jesus, to help each other strive to be holy, to help each other make it to heaven. Let's look at Ephesians 4:15 and 16. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Just as God made us to relate to him in a particular way, which is to exalt him, he also made us to relate to each other in a particular way. He made us to edify each other, to help each other grow spiritually. The Christian life is about growth. We're meant to keep growing and become more like Jesus every day. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. We're being transformed into the image of Christ more and more as we grow. And we're called to help each other do this. The Christian life isn't meant to be lived in isolation. It's meant to be lived in community. Let's look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're not to neglect meeting together as God's people. We're to meet together as much as possible. On Sunday mornings here at church, at ladies' fellowship or growth group during the week, and other times. We do this to help each other grow, to help each other keep following Jesus, to help each other keep exalting God. We're all in this together. So let's be a church that meets together as much as possible, so we can edify each other as much as possible. And let's do this for God's glory, to exalt him. Let's look at Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God is at work within us as a church for his glory. We exist to edify each other for God's glory, to exalt him. Now let's consider the third part of our mission statement. Our mission is to evangelize the lost. We exist to evangelize the lost. Now, the word evangelize simply means to speak the gospel. We exist to share the gospel with the lost, to tell people about Jesus so they too can be saved, to tell the lost how Jesus died so they could be forgiven and reconciled to God, so they can know God and enjoy him forever. Let's look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Where Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus has given his church this task of making disciples of all nations. Jesus has given us this task of telling others about him, so they too can become his followers and live with him forever. There are over 325,000 people in Logan, and many of them are lost. The people of Logan need to hear the gospel. They need to hear about Jesus and the eternal salvation that's found in him alone. And how are they going to hear unless we tell them? Let's look at Romans 10, 13 and 14. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Now, when Paul says preaching, he's not talking about standing up in front of a church and speaking like I'm doing right now, although it certainly includes that. Preaching means to proclaim, to speak, to tell. Paul's saying people can't believe in Jesus if they haven't heard about him. And they can't hear about him unless someone tells them, unless someone speaks the gospel to them. Now, it's not just preachers or evangelists who are called to preach the gospel. Every Christian is called to preach the gospel. Every Christian is called to speak the gospel, to tell others about Jesus and the wonderful salvation he offers them. Let's look at 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Paul isn't addressing these words to church leaders. He's addressing them to all Christians. Every Christian needs to always be prepared to tell people why they're a Christian, why they follow Jesus. And every true Christian follows Jesus because of the gospel, because Jesus has saved them through his life, death, and resurrection. So if we don't know why we're a Christian, it probably means we're not actually a Christian, because we don't understand what it means to be a Christian. But if we truly are a Christian, then we know why we are, and we should be able to tell people why we are. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It doesn't have to be articulate. It can be filled with lots of ums and ahs and pauses. What's important is that the gospel is spoken, that people hear about the eternal hope we have in Jesus. We exist to evangelize the lost, so they too can be saved from God's wrath and judgment, so they too can become people who know God and love him and enjoy him and glorify him, so they too can become people who exalt God, edify each other, and evangelize the lost. So let's be praying for the lost. Let's be praying regularly for particular people we know who are lost, that God would be merciful to them and save them, just like he was merciful to us and saved us. Let's be praying for God to give us opportunities to share about the hope we have in Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:15. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. As more and more people are saved by God's grace, it produces more and more thanksgiving to God for his glory. We exist to evangelize the lost for God's glory, to exalt him. So that's our mission statement. Logan Presbyterian Church exists to exalt God, edify each other, and evangelize the lost. Now, if you haven't noticed already, each of the three parts of our mission statement begins with the letter E, which will help us remember it. And if we can also remember that each of the three parts is about how we relate to three different groups of people, God, each other, and the lost, that will also help us remember it. And let me encourage you to commit it to memory, because it gives us clarity about why we're here, why we exist as a church, what our purpose is. It gives us direction and focus. It helps us understand what we're on about as a church. God calls us to be a church that exalts him, edifies each other, and evangelizes the lost. That's the mission he's given us. That's our purpose. So by God's grace, let's be the church he's called us to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you chose to show mercy and grace to sinners like us. Father, that you forgave all our sins through the death of your Son, and that you reconciled us to yourself, that you brought us into a beautiful relationship with you that will last forever. And Father, because of this, we want to exalt you. We live to exalt you, to make much of you in everything we do and say and think. And Father, by your grace, help us to do this more and more, to be conscious every day of wanting to exalt you, of wanting to glorify you in everything. And Father, thank you that you've made us part of a church family where we can edify each other, where we can help each other grow in our faith, to help each other keep following Jesus and keep exalting you, to help each other make it to heaven, that we might all be there on that last day, standing in your presence and being with you forever. So Father, please, by your grace, help us to do this more and more. Help us to edify each other better. Father, to work hard at this in your strength and by your grace, that we would have a strong desire to help each other grow. That when we come to church every Sunday, or go to ladies' fellowship or growth group, or just catch up during the week, that we'd have the conscious desire to help each other grow. That it wouldn't all be about us, that we would seek to love each other as brothers and sisters in this way. Father, you have given us a massive task in reaching the lost with the good news of Jesus. It is a huge task, Father, and we aren't sufficient to do it in and of ourselves. We need your grace. We need your power. We need you to work in our hearts to give us a strong, burning desire to see people saved, to see people come to know you. Father, please give us this hunger for souls, this hunger for people to know you like we do, to receive your mercy just as we've received it from you. Father, we know that you don't call each one of us to be out on street corners or to knock on doors. But at the very least, you call us to be people who are always ready to tell people why we follow Jesus, why we live for you, why we exalt you, why we have the eternal hope that we have in Christ. So, Father, please make us bold. Give us a desire to tell as many people as we can that we'd be praying every day that you would give us opportunities, that you would bring people across our paths, that you would prompt us in our thoughts to speak up, to speak the gospel to people who don't know you. So, Father, we pray that over the next little while, the next couple of years, the next many years, that you would fill this church with people who right now don't know you, but who come to know you through our witness, through our bearing testimony to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray these things through him. Amen.